Thank you for tuning in to the Cerrito House of Worship. It is our hope and belief that God will speak to you through His Word today. He is able to do far more than you could ask or even imagine.
Thank you for your Son and what He did for us on the cross. Lord, I just ask that today you help us to have open minds, open hearts, that we hear the Scripture and we let it change us. We gain understanding from it. And Lord, that we're open in our worship. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Do you know that there is not a single thing in the Bible that He gives you that you can't stand upon? Every single one of them are a yes and amen. We gotta stop seeing things as bad things coming into our lives and seeing them as every single thing that you do. Your word tells me that all things work together for good. Even when they look like they're hurting me, I know that your word says all things work together for good because your promises are yes and amen. It's, you know, there's a lot of times in our lives that we're like spinning our wheels, right? We're doing the same old things, but expecting that the outcome's gonna be different. We step our feet back into the world because, oh, it feels good for the moment. But can I tell you that that will do nothing but lead to destruction in the end? Nothing. Because His word is what you need. When you're feeling down, when you're feeling great, when you're feeling like all is well, when you're feeling like things are falling apart, in every single moment, there is always something for you. But the difference that we gotta start to realize is our ability to listen and obey. Oh, come on. That's the great thing about the Father, is He didn't just put you in this position and say, okay, you gotta do it. He gave you the choice, but you gotta choose life. When He died on that cross for us, He overcame death. What leads to death? The Bible tells us that sin is what leads to death in our lives. He overcame it. He overcame it. And there's no little fine print in God's word for what He can do and what He can't do. When He overcame death, He overcame death. And the Bible actually talks about every single thing that He does, we also can do. So we are the ones who put limits on the things that He can do in our lives. We are the ones who put a stop a lot of times in our lives because of fear, because of not wanting to give up the things that we like or think that we need. Because we want to do it ourselves, because we want to take things in our own hands. But let me tell you that if you just wait through the storm, He refines you in the fire.
Amen.
It's in your weakest moments that He says, I am strong. Because He will show you His strength through your weakest moments. He really will. If you just be still and allow God to do what He's going to do, you'll begin to see a moving in your life like you've never seen before. Amen. It's why you learn things as you go. He's teaching you and you're growing just like a child. It's the same thing. You go through things, He gives you words, He shows you things, He teaches you, and as you take them and you use them, you grow. And now He brings you to something new. Let me give you some more, because I got more for you. I'm not just stopping where you're at. I want to strengthen you even more. It's the amazing thing about the Word of God that every single time you go back, what you saw last time, you might see different this time because of the revelation that's happening in your life, the transformation that's taking place within your mind, the things that He's trying to give you become revealed to you if you just listen. Stop doing what you want over what He has for you. There's been a lot of times in my life that I can tell you where He's brought me to a point and I've been like, God, I'm going to wait. And I'm going to be honest, there's times where I've gotten real scared and then I'm like, well, I can do this in the meantime to take care of it. But God, I'm still waiting for You. No, that's not the way it works. Just let Him do what He's doing. Listen to what He's saying. Even if it means waiting through uncomfortable moments, just wait until you hear what He has for you, until He tells you to take a step or move into a new position. Because I guarantee you that His positioning is way better than anything that we could ever do on our own. Because all His promises are yes and amen. They don't change. They don't go away. They are there for you as a firm foundation for every single storm that you may go through. He allows for those to still be there because they are His words and He will not go back on them. You can stand on every single thing that He's given you. Every promise. Every promise. Hallelujah.
Thank You, Lord, for all these blessings. Thank You, thank You, thank You. I was in the Word this week and like Colossians and 2 Peter, and what really struck me like all week was the power of the empty tomb. And Living stones stuck out to me this week. We are living stones of the chief cornerstone. And we might be the only gospel that people see through our actions, that our faith without our actions is dead. You know, we can share just by our doing, the littlest things, cup of cold water, you know, just to be that light in the darkness. There's so much darkness. And wherever that darkness is, wherever that unforgiveness is, wherever that hate is, that's not light. We have to be their light. We have to show. We get to be those living stones. And I had to focus a lot this week. In fact, I even got behind a vehicle whose license plate said Heroes. And it was just more validation. Wherever I see it, two or three or four times. And last week when He gave us our homework and He told us what to read in Jeremiah and it talked all about the false prophets, we have to not listen to those that are discouraged and dark. We have to separate from the world. We can't choose the world. We have to choose. We have to choose God. And we just have to be that gospel for people, that to point them to Jesus. And He overcame death. He overcame death. Amen. And we are part of that. He gave us His Holy Spirit, and we get to show the world our light. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Praise God. Thank you, Kath. Praise God. Anybody else?
God's got to be talking to somebody.
Come on. Come on.
There was a time many years ago in my early Christian walk, I was in a church and we were having, I don't know what you call, I guess that it was a meeting of the elders and all the top brass there at that church. And as we were sitting there, as clear as you can hear me now, I heard God say, get up and give a message. I was like, what message? Can you elaborate a little, Lord?
Come on.
please. You know what? It ended up that I did not get up there because I was afraid. I allowed the fear of man and the fear of ridicule, the fear of what they would do. You know, if I didn't get the prophecy right, they were going to stone me.
Yeah.
you know, but I have regretted that for all these years. So many times I had the opportunity to get up and speak and talk to somebody, and I would not. But that's starting to change. The Spirit of God is strong in this house. He's strong in my house. He's strong in my bedroom. He's strong in my living room when I sit down to read. He's strong in all these. You know, it says that His mercies are new every morning, right? I believe the Word is new every morning as well. You have read this passage of Scripture 100 times, but it didn't take effect until you ran into this one obstacle. And now, all of a sudden, this jumps out at you. It says, now is the time.
Amen. Come on, brother.
So be looking for that when you read. You waiting for God to say, hold on, don't go too fast. What about this one here? You just read it. It just kind of went by. No, that's not what we're talking about. You know, He wants us to absorb that word.
Yeah. Come on.
To allow it to do its work inside of us. You know, I was talking with Pastor earlier, and you know, it takes time. It takes years of experience with God to learn how to be appropriate in the things that we do and say to one another. And it changes you. That like a whirlwind. Remember the white tornado? What was that?
Mr. Clean.
Yeah. Some of you younger folks aren't going to get that one. But that white tornado is like it comes into you. And this is something between you and God. It's not between you and somebody else. It's between you and Him. And He is doing that work inside of me. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that You are changing us. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. You know, Brother Steve, I don't know that he's here today. What a tender heart this man has. You know, he'll get up here and he can't get past 5 words before he starts to cry. Because God has allowed and put that white tornado into him, and he's a changed man. He will never be the same again. And I love him. I love it. You know, the man has done many good things for me. He's a good Christian. And anyway, that's all I wanted to say. It's just don't be afraid to speak about the things that you've gone through. You know, somebody needs to hear what you have in your heart. Somebody needs that. Bless the Lord. Praise God.
I always get it wrong.
Yeah.
It's on? Okay. I'm a perfect example of somebody that's fearful, and I'm disobedient a lot of times, and I'm asking God to forgive me for that. Thank God His mercies are new every morning, I tell you, because I know He's not done with me. I mean, I see myself a lot as Saul, the first king, because it says when God was choosing him, he hid behind the baggage. That's me. But I'm hoping He will get me out of there pretty soon and not hide anymore. Amen. Amen.
Hello? Yay. Isn't it great to be in the house of the Lord?
Ah, so blessed. You know, one of my favorite stories is the Samaritan woman at the well and Jesus' interaction with her. And you know, after I heard that and we studied that in church, man, I took it to heart. It really spoke to me. And I thought about that and really, what is the living water and what's the well and how do I get it and how do I never let it leave me? You know, and I know that from his word that I have this bucket and his well is deep and nobody can take my joy because God is love. And I believe that, oh man, if we could stay in love all the time, you know, and that we knew that the well was deep and that we had the bucket, we could be warriors out there charging. And I really feel that. You know, John and I sold our home and we left and we were homeless, I say, but, you know, we were, and we ended up here. Thank you. Thank you, each and one of you, for being here before us. Thank you. Thank you. His well is deep. Grab a bucket.
I wasn't planning to do this, but... but the Lord is pushing me to do this. This morning I was praying, and I remember Ephesians, when you was in the dry valley. And I feel like God was working with me for a long time when I was in the dry valley, like a dry bone. And I was working in that valley. And I feel like that for a long time. And I feel like I've gotten, now I feel like I'm getting back with my bones, getting back together. And I feel like I'm getting back together. And I thank you, all of you, to get me back together. And I was praying this morning and I was, thank you, Lord, for everything you've been done to me since I'm back together. And I thank you both, all of you, to be with me on this journey. And I cannot thank God more than this. I can express how much I love the Lord. And I remember this Ephesians, Ezekiel, dry bones. And I feel like I have to thank God this morning. Thank you. Thank you, everybody.
I want to be obedient to the Spirit of God. Thanking him for all he is in our lives. He's endless, limitless. He's got so much more for us than we even ask for. I'd like to just continue sitting in that seat. And as my heartbeat started going a little faster and started thinking about, if you don't get up there today, Lana, when are you going to get up there? It's not going to get any better. God's just going to turn it up. Next week, it's going to be harder. And the more you put it off, it's not going to go away. The intensity is going to increase. Yep. And there's been those that have struggled with ministering the gospel. Is this too loud? Struggling with, what do I say? How do I begin the conversation? I had lunch this week with someone that main reason for going is I wanted to tell them about the Lord. I just met them in a common place and we had some
commonalities. We had been in same places throughout the United States and just happened to meet one another. And she said to me, I don't believe that things are just by coincidence. I believe that things happen for a reason. So I continued to reach out to her and told her about me being raised in a religious background, very religious. And February 10th in 1990, I gave my heart to the Lord and everything changed. So today, I want to say to those that don't know how to start a conversation about God, see, for me, hell's a real place. And it's a place that if I can influence people to miss hell and to make it to heaven for eternity,
hallelujah,
I will change my schedule. I will do things that I really maybe is not going to be at the top of my list for that week. I'm not a selfish person, but sometimes you just go, God, really? Is this what I got to do? And I think more and more we have to be conditioned to not even ask. Why should we ask? He gave his life on the cross for us, died and rose again, that we would have life everlasting. So I'm going to close with this. I was at a medical appointment this week, and I was in this appointment, and the guy said to me, I don't know if he sensed something or why he started this conversation, but we talked about age and how sometimes when you have a few more birthdays, maybe you aren't quite as valuable to certain people or certain groups. And I don't know why I have this started this conversation with him, but I think God was saying, well, if you start here, you'll end up where you would like to be. So he says, are you afraid of dying? I said, no. And he said, why not? And I said, because I have Christ in my life.
Hallelujah.
And he says, what does that mean to you? So I started sharing the death and resurrection of Jesus. It's not hard, folks. I remember one of the first times I came in here, Pastor said something about, don't have it all fixed up in your mind that you're just going to go, you know, the Romans road of faith here, right? Just I got it all figured out because we'll meet at 5, you know, have some iced tea, and then about 5:30, I'll begin, you know, my ministry with this person to see them to come to the Lord. So the guy asked me, he said, well, what do you do? Is there meditation? I mean, yoga, what do you do? And I kind of looked at him and he goes, you know what yoga is, right? I thought, well, I've had quite a few birthdays, but I do know what yoga is. So I got to minister to this man who should have already heard the gospel many times at his age. And he says, well, tell me about your relationship with Christ. What is your ritual? What do you do? And I said to him, my time with God isn't always after my second cup of coffee. He's with me all day. I talk to him all day. I don't know who needs to hear this, if it'll help somebody. Thank you for saying there's somebody that needs to hear something you have, because I think I would still be sitting there. So I just hope this helps someone. God bless you all. It's easy to preach the gospel of Christ.
Hallelujah.
Yes, I want to thank the brother also because I was guilty. I was sitting there. Forgive me. Amen. This is hard, but I'm going to do it. You all, yes. Okay. So because the brother said there's something that you have within you that can bless someone else, I identified with that and I said, okay, Lord, I want to go for it. So my testimony is that a few months ago, I was living in a beautiful home with my daughter and my grandchildren. And it was a temporary thing. I knew that because I've always been able to stand on my own no matter what circumstances. And why? Because of my strength? No. Because of Jehovah Jireh, my God. Because of him, I've been able to stand through storms. And yes, that's my testimony. So in March, I got tested really heavily. I was in this home, my daughter's home, and my son-in-law said these words to me. He became very angry because I used the word blessed. I am blessed. I am blessed because I have Christ in me. I am blessed because he goes before me and because he stands behind me. And he showed me that day how much he stood behind me. Amen. So my son-in-law walked in on a conversation that I was having with my daughter that I was saying I was blessed. And he became extremely angry, beyond angry, because he's been hurt. He's been hurt in the church. I understand him. I'm praying for him. I still am praying for him. I love him still. I love him with the love of Christ. I call him my son. But on that day, I was tested because he said to me, if you expose Jesus to my children, I will kick your, and I will not say the word, out of here. I was tested. I was tested. I shook in my body and I said, no one's going to tell me who I believe in, who is with me, and who I speak of, because it's Jesus. I know what he's done for me. I will never deny him to anyone, even someone who's hurting. So I left broken. And I asked my daughter before I left, I said, why is this happening? His mom's a believer. His dad's a believer. Why is this happening? Why does he feel threatened by me? Because she even said, she said, what are you afraid of? Are you afraid of God? She asked him. It was all about God. He's trying to reach him. And so I asked my daughter, I don't understand this. And she said, Mom, his mom's not an evangelist. And I said, well, I don't think that I force anyone here to believe in what I believe in. And she said, no, Mom. So the only thing I can say, it's because Jesus shines. He shines in the darkest moments. And he will shine through you. Just through your darkest moments. That's why his name is Jehovah Jireh. Yes. He is our provider, and he provided. And within a week, he gave me a home. And I was able to leave that home and have my own home. But what I do and what he has taught me is when you go into that home, because sometimes I was not invited anymore, but now God's breaking that wall. But the Lord told me, he said, before you go into that home, bless the home. Go in there and bless it. So that's what I do now. Whenever the door opens there, that's my grandchildren. That's my daughter. That's my son. I call him my son. And I believe in his words because he says, as for me and my house, you shall serve the Lord. And they will. They will. It's a battle, but God has already won it. He won it on that cross. And they will believe. Thank you.
Glory. Hallelujah. Ooh, hallelujah. Thank you, man. How many of you know that sometimes people don't like us? How do you know that? Amen. Praise God. Is that okay? I mean, hey, is it like her son-in-law said, hey, don't expose my show. Too late. Amen. They're already exposed. Anytime, I mean, you can expose the kingdom of God to somebody just by praying for them. I remember being at work, man, where I'd be talking, I'd be talking to them, man, I just put my hand on them, you know, while I'm talking to them, and they go, hey, why do you always got to touch me? Isn't that right? Because I do believe in laying on in hand. I believe on, whether they believe it or not, don't matter to me. I believe God's word says, lay hands on them, man. And I'll just put my hand on them while I'm talking to them, man. They might not get it. But our God answers prayer. How many know that? Yes. Ooh, I don't know, we were talking about the deep well and the bucket. Where are you, sister? I like that bucket. How many say amen? I remember when I first got saved, there was a hole in the bucket. Do you remember? There was a hole in the bucket. Dear Henry, dear Henry, there's a hole in the bucket. Remember that song? I remember whenever we got saved, there was a hole. It seemed to be a hole. Everything I was reading, I mean, it seemed like it was slipping away. But, you know, God does not speak to your mind. How many say amen? He speaks to your heart. What I thought I was forgetting, oh, it was always there. He had put it in there. I mean, and so, hey, folks, you'd be surprised what will come out of your mouth at the appropriate time when God says, has made a, if you will, a divine connection for you, and you're talking to somebody, and all of a sudden this word comes up through you, and it's because of who you are, who Christ is within you, that the words will come forth. And you know what? You can just believe God, say, man, I don't know what that was all about, but I know that person got touched. How many say amen to that?
Amen.
How many like opportunities?
Yes.
How many ever, anybody ever had a missed opportunity? Yep. Yeah. How many, are you sad about missing that opportunity? Yeah. You know, I had an opportunity I had at work one day. There was a brother, his name was Ray Huveta. I would love to find this guy because he was always in our crew, always trying to talk to me about Jesus. And I said, bro, I'm a Catholic. Leave me alone. Poof. Leave me alone. And, you know, when I think back about it, I missed that opportunity to know Jesus then. It was a missed opportunity. Can I tell you that God's got opportunities open for every one of us in the house? Do you know that? There are opportunities that God has for us. Our problem is we need to hear what he's saying at the moment, at the time. How many say amen to that? How many of you want to hear what God is saying to you? Amen? Hallelujah. Opportunities. God is, he's the creator of opportunities. Amen?
Amen.
Glory to God. Hallelujah.
Yes.
Mm. And he wants to bring opportunities to you so that you can see them, so you can realize it. I can just tell you, prayer is a way that you will see the opportunities are coming towards you. Is that right? Let me just say, don't pray. Don't pray. And you will miss opportunity after opportunity after opportunity because God, by his Spirit, will help you to recognize the opportunity he's bringing to you. Is that okay? How many say amen to that? Amen. Hold on to doing the things that God has said for you to do. I'm going to try to get through this message pretty quick. Is that okay? You guys all right with that? Everybody's going, yeah, please. Amen. The roast is on. It's burning by now. Amen. Folks, I will tell you something. I do not apologize at all for when people have a word to come up and speak. I do not apologize for it. Because there can be people in the house, or this is being recorded, as you might know. So you might not know. Those of you that are talking on there, your voice is going out into the internet. Are you say amen to that? Come on, you say, oh, what? There we go, what? Yeah, you can hear yourself. Squeaks and all. Amen? Because there can be somebody that needs the message that these folks bring up here, man. I enjoy it. I enjoy doing what God has told us to do. God spoke to us, said, hey, open the mic. Let the body of Christ minister to the body of Christ. Amen?
Amen.
That's a good thing. Amen. Hallelujah. So I want to take you real quick into the book of Numbers, if you will. And the name of... The title of the message is Open Opportunities. Amen? Everybody, look at your neighbor and say, open opportunities. And then say this to them, watch for them. Watch for them. Can I tell you that you have to be aware of these things that are happening around you. And the best way to be aware is be spiritually aware about the opportunities that God's bringing you. So I'm saying this to you. I'm believing for every one of you in the house that you're going to be watching more consistently than you ever have for the opportunities that God's bringing to you. Is that okay with you?
Yes.
Amen? Hallelujah. Because I don't care how old you are. Amen?
Amen?
You can be as young as I am. I like that. It felt good when I said that. Or younger. Amen? Yeah. If you're alive and God's got you on this planet, there's a purpose that he's got you here. So the opportunities, can I tell you, can be enormous. If you say, can you say amen to that?
Amen.
God will use his people to do things that men, that they might not even expect to be doing. Is that okay? So hallelujah. So Father, let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word this morning. We thank you for all that you're doing and all that you've done and all that you're about to do, Father. We thank you, Father, that this is the day that you have said, this is the day, this is the day that you have made. You said that we are to rejoice and be glad in it, Father. No matter what's happening in our lives, no matter how it looks, no matter how sad something might make us feel, no matter how depressed we might be feeling, Father, your word tells us to rejoice and be glad because this is the day the Lord has made. Father, we thank you for it. I pray that you would strengthen my brothers and my sisters in Jesus' name. If you agree, say amen. Amen. Praise God. We're going to go to Numbers chapter 13, 1 through 3, 1, 2, and 3. I'm going to start off with a lot of reading this morning. So hold on. Okay. I love the word of God. How many say amen? I love God's word. I love to look at it. I love to go through it. And so sometimes it might seem a little bit long, but let me just say this to you. The Holy Spirit will take what's in the word and will put it into your heart and allow you to maybe even look at it all week long. Is that okay? Yeah. Amen. So it said, Numbers 13, starting at verse 1, the word of God says, "And the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, Send thou men, that they may search the land of Canaan, which I give unto the children of Israel, every tribe of their fathers, and you shall send a man, every one a ruler among them." Verse 3 says, "And Moses, by the commandment of the Lord, sent them from the wilderness of Paran, all those men that were heads of the children of Israel." I'm not going to read all the names because I messed it up so bad. How many say amen to that? There's a lot of weird names in there. There are two names in there, but you got to remember these two names, Joshua and Caleb. Amen?
Yeah.
Because these two guys were a little different than the rest. Amen? All these men, though, all of these guys were heads of their tribes. All of these men were very influential to all the people in their tribe. Is that okay? So here we're setting up where God is saying, look, I want them to go into the land. And what did he say? What was neat about the land they were going to go look at? What was neat about it was that God said, it's the land that I have given them. How many say amen?
Amen.
You know, come on, they weren't in it yet. Is that right? But God said, I've given it to you. Ooh, huh? I mean, that's a good start right there. God has given us things that sometimes we're right on the outside of it, and God's saying, look, I'm going to move you into it. Is that okay? Is that all right? Come on, man. I'm going to move you into something different. Is that good?
Yeah.
Is that all right? Hallelujah. So starting, I'm going to skip over all the names, and we're going to start at verse 16, and it says, and these are the names, well, those were the names that we just didn't read. These are the names of the men which Moses sent to spy out the land. And Moses called Oshea, the son of Nun, Joshua. Joshua. Jehoshua. And Moses sent them to spy out the land of Canaan. And he said to them, get you up to this way southward and go up into the mountain and see the land, what it is, and the people that dwell therein, whether they be strong or weak, few or many, and what the land is good that they dwell in. Whether it be good or bad, and what cities they be that they dwell in, whether in tents or in strongholds, and what is the land is, whether it be fat or lean, whether there be wood therein or not, and be ye of good courage, and bring the fruit of the land. Now the time was the first ripe grapes. So they went up and searched the land from the wilderness of Zin to Rehob, as men come to Hamath. And they ascended by the south and came unto Hebron, where Ahiman, Shushan, Thalmai, and the children of Anak were. Now Hebron was built 7 years before Zoan in Egypt. And they came into the brook of Eshcol and cut down from there a branch with one cluster of grapes, and they bare it between two upon a staff. How many imagine that those good cluster of grapes? if it was taking two guys to carry it. Is that okay? And they stuck it between a spear or a stick, and they were carrying this huge, huge thing of grapes. And they brought of the pomegranates and of the figs. How many like figs? Amen? Amen. Praise God. I like figs. I'll eat them right off the tree. I'll wash them first, but then I'll eat them right away. They're good. Amen. I mean, praise God. I love figs. How many like Fig Newtons? Anybody like Fig Newtons? You're getting hungry, huh? Hallelujah. Now, the place was called the Brook Eshcol because of the clusters of grapes which the children of Israel cut down from there. And they returned from searching the land after 40 days. And they went and came to Moses and to Aaron and to the congregation of the children of Israel under the wilderness of Paran to Kadesh and brought back word to them and unto all the congregation and showed them the fruit of the land. And they told him and said, we came unto the land where you sent us, and surely it flows with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it. That should have been the end. Amen? Amen. It flows with milk and honey. This is a great land. It does. Just like God had told Moses when Moses was looking at the bush that didn't burn, the burning bush, remember, that didn't burn? God told Moses, look, I'm coming down, and I am going to take the children of Israel into a land that flows with milk and honey. And here these guys are saying, look, this thing flows with milk and honey. Amen? And they should have stopped right there. But no, they kept on going. Here's the report they brought. First they said, yeah, it's a great land, flowing with milk and honey. Then it says, nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled. Very great. Moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south. The Hittites, the Jebusites, the Amorites dwell in the mountain. And the Canaanites dwell by the sea, by the coast of Jordan. And Caleb, don't you love Caleb? He calms them down. He said, oh, calm down, hold on. Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. This is Caleb. Hey, stop. He stilled the people. He told them, hey, be quiet. We can do this. Amen? Amen. How many know that they could do it? Is that right? They could do this. And the men that went up with him would say, hey, we're not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than us. Look at the testimony that they're giving now. They're stronger than us. And they brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, the land through which we have gone to search it is a land that eats up the inhabitants thereof. And all the people that we saw in it are men of a great stature. All the people are big. Amen? That's what they're saying. They're great big guys. Big as refrigerators. Amen? Or bigger. Hallelujah. And there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which come of the giants. And we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so we were in their sight. Hallelujah. How many of you know the Jewish people, I mean, they're not known for their large size. How many of you know that? Most of the time, Jewish folks are just kind of not, you know, not short, but they're not tall. Saul was tall. Amen? Saul was an exception. And I'm sure there's exceptions now. I'm sure there's some tall ones out there somewhere, man. But for the most part, they weren't really big. And they say, we were like grasshoppers to these guys, and we know they thought we were grasshoppers. Hey, what kind of a testimony is that? Amen? Amen? That's not good. But can I just, I mean, I'm going to just say something to you. And I love Moses. How many of you like Moses? Yeah. I think Moses got a little ahead on what he told these guys. I really feel he did. Because if you go back, can you look at verse 2? Can you put verse 2 up, Terry? Verse 2 of chapter 13 says, send men that they may search the land of Canaan, which I gave to the children of Israel. Every tribe of their fathers shall you send a man, every one a ruler. And then Moses commanded them to go into the wilderness. But God didn't tell them. Moses, let me just show, this is kind of crazy because, you know, it's almost like the Holy Spirit said, I want you to see something because, man, something, we make mistakes. How many say amen to that? Yep. And sometimes in your best intent, you might say something you shouldn't have said. How many, anybody ever done that? Nobody? None of it? I do it all the time. No. I tell you what, you guys are really good, man. Praise God, man. But you saints. Amen. Hallelujah. But I tell you, sometimes you say something in a way and somebody takes it in a wrong way. How many say amen to that? You ever done that? Yeah. So here in Moses, God tells him, tell him to go search the land. But I want you to look at verse 17. This is what Moses tells them. He says, he sent them to spy out the land and said to them, go up southbound, go up into the mountain, which is okay. And then he said, the land, what it is, see what the land is and the people that dwell therein, whether they be strong or weak. You see that? Yep. Moses is telling them that. See if they're strong or weak. Caleb and Joshua, who cares? Amen? Who cares if they're strong or weak? Amen? Yep. And then he tells them, he goes, hey, and see what the land is, what it looks like, whether it's good or bad. Who cares? It's ours. Amen? Yep. Who cares if it's good or bad? And what the cities are that they dwell in, whether in tents or in strongholds, whether they're forts or they're easy to take. Moses, I think, sets these guys up because he tells them what to look at. Where God didn't tell them to look at that. How many say amen to that? God just said, hey, go search the land. Go check it out. Go see what you got. Honey, if somebody told you, hey, there's a new Corvette in your name down at Jim Click's, which will never happen. And they said, just go check it out. Would you go over there and you know, hey, badmouth the car and all this other? Well, it's at Jim Click's. You know, Jim Click is a Ford dealer, so I don't want to buy it. You know, whatever, man. I mean, these guys didn't get it that God said, go check it out because it's yours. Is that okay? Not okay. They brought a bad report back. Who cares if they're big? Isn't that right? Who cares if they're living in forts? God said what? It belongs to us. Amen? That's all God's asking for you. All he's asking for you is to believe him. Is that okay? Yeah. Just believe him. It's simple. Come on. Just believe. If you don't know what to believe, look in the word of God. That's why God has given us his word. Amen? I love it. I'm on just Numbers, Deuteronomy chapter 12, verse 32 says this. What thing soever I command you, observe to do it, is what God says. And then he says, you will not add thereto or diminish anything from it. See how Moses kind of added to what God told him to do? And it created something that shouldn't have happened. He says, if I would have been Moses, I said, boys, that is our land. God's given it to us. He's already given it to us. We just got to see. Just go see what it looks like. And bring back some fruit. You can show the people. Remember, these guys were the influential guys of the nation. These guys were the heads of their tribes. And they come back with this report. We can't do it. Why can't you do it? Caleb and Joshua, on the other hand, hey, let's go now. How many say amen? Can I tell you the time to do? When God tells you to do something, the time is now. Yep. If he says do it, just do it. Amen? Don't try to figure it out. Don't go to search it out. Don't go to, because I will tell you, you will talk your way out of it. Amen? Because that's just the way we are. We like to talk ourselves out. Yep. Praise God. Ooh, God's got some work on us, doesn't he? He's got some stuff to do for us. Amen. Let's go to the next chapter. Well, I got one more scripture for you. Look at Deuteronomy 8:3 says this. He humbled you and suffered you to hunger and fed you with manna and that you did not know. Neither did your fathers know that he might make you to know that man does not live by bread only. But what?
By the every word of God.
How are we supposed to live? I mean, the word is live. Do you see that word live? This is how men live. You live by every word that comes out of the mouth of God. Amen. Don't try to figure it out. Amen. Well, God said this, so that's it. Amen. Well, my body says this. Well, God's word says that, so I'm sorry. That's it. That's what it says. By his stripes I am healed. Amen. Amen. He sent his word and healed me. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. You are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Look at your neighbor and say, yeah. Yeah. You are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Your sins, listen, your sins have been washed away. Is that right? He says, I pitched them as far as the east is from the west. How far is that? It's pretty far. No matter where you go, there's always an east. They're always far apart. Amen? I don't care where you stand. Far as the east is from the west, he has thrown your transgressions. He's in the depths of the sea. He tries to give us a lot of understanding that says, look, you are not a sinner anymore. You are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, which comes with rights and privileges as a child of God. How many say amen? That's a good word, man. You belong to him. Ooh, hallelujah. He is not going to let you go. How you say? Not without a fight. And I'm going to tell you, you get tired fighting God. Amen? He's going to win. He paid for you. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Check this out. Let's go. Chapter 14. Are you guys ready for this? Yeah, I got a few minutes yet. I'll get you out of here by 2. Yeah. And all the congregation lifted up their voice and cried. And the people wept that night. And all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron. And the whole congregation said to them, would God that we had died in the land of Egypt. Would God that we had died in this wilderness. Oh, my gosh. Come on, man. What do you think? What a bunch of wah-wahs. Amen?
Yeah.
Wah, wah, wah. Can you imagine God going, what the heck? What just happened? Did God know? Oh, yeah, you bet he knew. Wherefore has the Lord brought us into this land to fall by the sword? Listen to them. Nothing's happened to them yet. Amen? Now God's brought us in, so we're going to be slain by the sword, and our wives and our children will be a prey. Shut up. Amen?
Amen.
And he says, were it not better for us to return to Egypt? And then they said one to another, let's make a captain and go back. Amen? Come on, man. How's that captain going to get you across that sea? Amen?
Amen?
Oh, yeah. Get a captain. Go over there against the sea and see how far you get across that water. Folks, I'm going to tell you something. We're just like this. Do you know that? We can be just like this. God can say, man, hey, will you let me take the wishy-washy out of you? How many say wishy-washy? You know what it is? You know what wishy-washy is? It's kind of, man, you're not solid in anything. You're wishy-washy. You're kind of spongy or whatever. You're not stable. Yeah. He wants to take the wishy-washy out of the body of Christ. How many say amen to that? He wants you strong and he wants you stable. He wants you on a firm foundation. Is that okay?
Yes.
Ooh, hallelujah. Watch this. Let's make us a captain. And Moses and Aaron fell on their faces before the assembly of the congregation of the children of Israel. God still has not responded. Even though he's seen the whole deal. Is that right? God has not responded yet. And then it says, the word of God says, Joshua, the son of Nun, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, which were of them that searched the land, they tore their clothes, and they spoke unto all the company of the children of Israel, saying, the land which we pass through, listen, the land which we pass through, it is an exceeding good land. If the Lord delights in us, then he will bring us into the land and give it to us, a land which flows with milk and honey. Again, the testimony of these two witnesses are saying it's a good place. Amen? The Bible says by two or three witnesses, will anything be established? Well, there was 10 other witnesses that were against it. Only do not rebel against the Lord, neither fear the people of the land, for they are bread for us. Their defense is departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Fear them not. Isn't that good word? That's good preaching, Josh, Caleb. I don't know which one's preaching, but they're saying, hey, man, the Lord's with us. What's wrong with you folks? Have you been asleep? Oh, man. Apparently, they forgot. This little trip might have been too long for them. But apparently, they forgot. The congregation, it says, but all the congregation bade stone them with stone. Let's stone those two guys. And the glory of the Lord appeared in the tabernacle of the congregation before the children. Now, all of a sudden, God's going to respond. Is that right? Because you got these two guys that are saying, hey, man, God can do it. God will take us. God has already done it for us. Come on. We just got to get up and go. Come on, man. What's wrong? It's an excellent land. It's better than you imagined. Come on. You got to get up. And then people are saying, hey, let's stone them. Stone them. Can I tell you, a lot of times people will want to stone the preachers. Amen? My wife laughs. I think she wants to stone me. Stone him. Hallelujah. Yeah, you guys didn't get that. Like, we get it. We get it. Right? We get it. But it's okay. God's going to take it. He says, and the Lord said to Moses, how long will this people provoke me? You see, what they were doing was in forgetting about what God had done and what his provision for them. He's saying, they are provoking me. How many ever been provoked?
Oh, yeah.
Come on, man. Do something about it. Yeah, come on, man. Is that right, Randy? You ever been provoked? Come on. Come on, man. You ever been provoked? Somebody provoking you? I'd say you're in a bad position if you're provoking God, amen? You don't want to provoke God. And God is saying, how long will they provoke me, Moses? He says, I love what he says here. He says, how long will it be before they believe me? Folks, we got to believe him. What his word says, he says for a reason. You know, people say, well, God said it, so I believe it. Well, you know what? Whether you believe it or not, God said it, so it's true. See, we have a problem sometimes in belief. We pick and choose what we're going to believe. Is that okay? No, it's not okay. You got to just believe God, period. What he says in his word, he says it for a reason. I will tell you, a generation that is moving forward in the earth today to inhabit the earth. God is building a generation to inhabit this planet. The planet that he gave us in the beginning. Just like he said, I gave this land to these guys. Go in and take it. Folks, we're in the same position. God has placed his glory on the earth like he's never placed it before. His glory is on the earth now. His glory is indwelt by his people. Woo! Jesus on every corner. How many say amen to that? Come on. Jesus on every corner. Hallelujah. Folks, you got to see it. Huh. I love it. How long will it be before they believe me? How long will it take for us to believe him in all things? For us to just drop off. All right, you know what? I'm not going to worry about this anymore because God has said that he's going to take care of my needs and I believe him. Amen. Boom, whatever. Put me out of my house. I don't care. God's going to provide for me. Take away my vehicle. I don't care. God's going to provide for me. He'll give me a better one. He'll give me a better house because God says you are mine. You belong to him. He's not going to let you down. God cannot let you down. Do you know that? The Bible says he cannot deny himself. Is that right? He can't deny himself. So if you're filled with the Spirit, you're a child of God. How can he deny you? He can't deny himself. He will do what he said he'll do. Come on. Hallelujah. Woo, hallelujah. Oh, my goodness. Hallelujah, Jesus. Moses said to the Lord, verse 12, he says, I will smite them. Well, I'm going to go back to verse 11. And the Lord said unto Moses, how long will this people provoke me? How long will it be before they believe me? For all the signs which I have showed among them. See, these people were special people. Amen. Can I tell you, just like you are, you're special. You belong to him. You're special. And he will show you things that you've never seen before. You see things in the word that you hadn't seen before. You're special people, and he's showing you things. So he says, verse 12, he says, I will smite them with pestilence. Who's he talking about? He's talking about his people. I'll smite them with pestilence. I will disinherit them, and I will make of you, Moses, a greater nation and mightier than they. Moses could have said right there, okay, cool. Let's do it, God. I'm tired of these folks anyway. How many say amen? Was he do you think he's tired of them? I think he was really tired of them. I think Moses could have said, yeah, let's do it, God. Come on, man. Let's make out of me more. Yeah, come on. Let's do this. Somebody that will believe you, God. Amen. You don't think that Moses might have had, hey, that's an idea. No, but look what Moses does. He says this. Moses said to the Lord, then the Egyptians shall hear it. For you brought up this people in your might from among them, the Egyptians. And they will tell it to the inhabitants of this land, for they have heard that, Lord, you are among your people, that you, Lord, are seen face to face, and that your cloud stands over them, and that you go before them by daytime, and a pillar of cloud and a pillar of fire by night. God, now if you will kill all this people as one man, then the nations which have heard the fame of thee will speak, saying, because the Lord was not able to bring this people into the land which he swore to them, therefore he has slain them in the wilderness. How many know Moses is making a good point? How many know God's saying, you know, I didn't think of that? No, God didn't. I will tell you, God, I believe, is very pleased with what Moses is doing right now. Moses is interceding for these guys that are wanting to stone Joshua, Caleb, and probably him and Aaron. He's interceding for them before the Lord. How many of you know the intercession? How many of you know prayer is important in your life? It's important for those around you. Come on, man. Hallelujah. And now I beseech you, let the power of my Lord be great. Amen? Let your power be great, Lord, according as you have spoken, saying, now here Moses gets into something a little bit different, which we really need to be picking up on. We really need to do this. He says, which according to the word that you have spoken, Lord, the Lord is long-suffering and of great mercy, forgiving iniquity and transgression, by no means clearing the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation. Pardon, I beseech thee, the iniquity of this people according to the greatness of your mercy, God. And as you have forgiven this people from Egypt even until now. From the time they left, God, you've been forgiving them. You've been keep on forgiving them, God. That's all he's saying. But I like what he says. He says, hey, listen. He says, as you have said. Can I tell you how important it is for you to say, to take God's word that you know, and take it into the presence of God. And when you're praying, you speak his word to him. He's looking for it. He's looking to hear his word on your lips. Do you know that? I want you to look at the scripture. It is Isaiah 46:10. No, that's not. 14:19. Yeah, thank you. No, I'm sorry. Did I not give you this scripture? I probably didn't, did I, Terry? Let me look real quick. Oh, you guys know the scripture, but I want to read it. I'm going to find it and read it to you. Is that okay? Yeah. Yeah. Take a break. Go get some water. No, I'm just kidding. Yeah, because it might take just a bit. Hallelujah. Steve, you're doing a good job, bro. Love it. I can't believe I didn't put it down. It was 2:00 this morning, so I was having a good time. And I can't find it. Getting close. Yeah. I'm sorry. It's Isaiah 43. And it's 25 and 26. Read this one and put this one up. You guys know this. Probably you all heard it already. But I'm gonna put it up there as soon as he gets it. Glory to God. I, God speaking, am he that blots out your transgressions for my own sake. You see that? Why does he do it? Not for your sake, but for his sake. Isn't that cool? God has taken responsibility over you. And he says, I have blotted out thy transgressions for my own sake, and I will not remember your sins. I mean, say amen. Is that good? That's a good place. Amen. God, I'm sorry, but I cussed out my wife this morning, Lord. Forgive me of my sins. He goes, man, that's already been forgiven. What are you doing? It's done. Do you know that? From the beginning, God, he died knowing all your sins. That's why when Jesus died on the cross, you can say he died for your sins. Well, you weren't there. Yeah, well, he goes from the end, from the beginning. He knows it. He knows the end of time and the beginning of time and all the sin in between, Jesus paid for it. How many say amen? Isn't that cool?
Yeah.
That's why he says go into all the world and preach the gospel, because they're already saved if they will believe. Is that right?
Amen.
If you will just believe it. Amen?
Amen.
That's a nice message.
Yeah.
He said, I am he that blots out your transgressions. And then he says this, put me in remembrance. Let us plead together. Declare that you may be justified. Basically, he's saying, just remind me of what I've said. I want to plead with you. When you bring my word before me, he says, now we're doing something, because the word of God says by two or three shall anything be established. So you bring his word before him. He says, yeah, that's what I said. Amen, bro. Yes and amen. How many like that song this morning? Yeah. I could sing that all day long. All your promises are yes and amen. Yes and amen. Yes and amen. You know, sometimes it feels like we got a song going and you got people going, all right, yes and amen. Get it over with. Oh, man, no, man. The thing to do is just to bathe in that thing. Amen? God, all your promises are yes and amen. The better you bathe in that, just spend some time in it, the more it will get really down deep into you. Amen? And all his promises to you are what?
Yes
and amen. Yes and amen. Yes, yes, and amen. Hallelujah. So here Moses is. Here, Moses is bringing these things before God, and he's telling them, hey, man, you're the one that said, God, that you are merciful, and you forgive. You're the one that said it, God. I'm asking you to do it again. Let me say amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Almost done, guys. Don't fall asleep on me. Anybody awake?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, raise your hand if you're awake. Nobody raise their hand. Yeah, yeah. Come on, man. Hallelujah. All right, we're almost done. Praise God. And the Lord said, "I have pardoned according to your word, but as truly as I live." And I want you to take note of this verse right here. It says, "Truly as I live, all the earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord." You know, I'm going to stop right there. I'm just going to say this to you. Oh, God did take care of those guys. God pronounced that, you know, hey, you guys are going to have to go in the wilderness for another 40 years until all those kids that you said were going to die off, that were going to be killed in the wilderness, all those kids will be grown, and those kids I will take into the promised land. And there was only two that went in. Joshua and Caleb were the only two. And the scriptures say that because they had a different spirit. Is that all right? They were listening to something different. They were listening. They paid attention to what God was doing. Is that okay? Is that right? Hallelujah. But what I want you to look at, God tells Moses, he says, okay, I forgave him. But I just want you to know this, Moses, that surely as I live, my glory will cover the earth as the waters cover the sea. And like I was like I've told you before, God has told me. I was praying one night, and the Lord said to me, He says, Henry, because something in my prayer, I said, you know what, Lord, heaven's my home. How many of you say heaven's my home? How many know that? Do you know that heaven's your home? Well, it's crazy, man. It's cool, man. Because I'm going to shock you with God said. Because God said, no, Henry, let me just say this to you, Henry. Heaven's not your home. What? How many say, yeah, what? Everybody go with that. Everybody look at your neighbor and say, what's he talking about? See, you see, heaven's not our home. Right now, heaven is a holding place. And right now, there is a city that's being constructed, that's constructed in heaven. It's called Zion. Is that right? It's the new Jerusalem. Is that right? You see, the Word of God says that God gave the earth to man, not heaven. Heaven is God's place. Amen? That's His place. Take a look in your Bibles and go through this thing because you need to know this. Heaven's not your home. Everybody say, I just want to go home with Jesus. Yeah. Yeah. Well, I guess what's going to happen? You're going to find in that when God begins to change this thing, the glory of God will cover the earth as the waters cover the sea. That's the Spirit of God. In Isaiah 60, he says, arise, shine. The glory of the Lord will shine through you. Is that right? Heaven, folks, is the place where New Jerusalem is sitting right now. But if you look at Revelation, you're going to see that out of Revelation, Jesus comes back to the earth and he brings all the saints with him. And the heavenly Jerusalem comes down and it sits on the earth. Come on, man. You see, the earth has been given to the kingdom of God, to God's children. Heaven's my home. Yeah, it is because you're... mansions there, but God is going to transport that mansion onto the earth. Do you understand that? That's why it's so important that we speak to this earth. The Bible says that the earth is waiting for the manifestation of the children of God. Isn't that what it says? It says that, read Romans 8, that the earth is waiting for this manifestation to happen. What's it talking about? The sons of God. That we who are bought by the blood of Jesus. How many say amen?
Amen.
The blood of Jesus. Ooh, there's power, wonder working power. You guys remember that song, anybody? In the blood of the Lamb, there's power, wonder. We who have been bought by the blood of Jesus, we're going to possess the earth, is what his word says. Huh. And he's doing it now, folks. He's placing his words in the hearts and lives of those folks that believe him. Believe him. Is that how long will they believe? How long will it take them to believe me? How long does it take you to believe what God's word says? I'm giving you something that God gave me last night. Tell them that the earth belongs to them. I gave it to them. Is that right? God gave it to Adam. Adam released it to the enemy. How do you say amen to that? But then what did Jesus do? He came and the word is redeemed. I'm sorry, redeemed. Sorry, that's a weird word, isn't it? Redeemed is the word. He bought it back, brought it back to its original state. We might not see it right now, but it's happening, folks. God, I mean, can I just, like I said last week or maybe the week before, I'm not sure when I said it. You can't believe everything that you see and hear out there. You can't believe those things, folks. This isn't out of control. As a matter of fact, God has it more under control than you even think. All the things that are contrary to God are happening in the earth right now. God's placing his seasonings on the earth. And he's going to bring these things across. And you're going to see that that it almost makes a division. Where God separates the sheep from the what? Goats. Goats do what? They butt. Know that God is at work, and he's doing a great work. And it's time more than ever to believe what he is saying to you personally. Don't believe me. Don't believe what I'm telling you. You don't have to. I'm not going to kick you out or I'll do all that other stuff. You believe what God tells you to believe. Amen?
Amen.
And go from there. But hopefully, What you heard today, you're going to go in the Word of God and say, well, I've always told people that heaven's my home. Do you know what Jesus could be saying? Where's his home? It's in the midst of his people. That's his home. And it's here on the earth. Can you say amen to that? Amen. Yeah, hey, you get connected to Jesus. Hear what he's saying. He goes, hey, man, my home is in you. Amen. Ooh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Then watch what happens. Watch how God begins to take all the little things that divide and begins to place it together, because the Spirit of God has a job to do with the body of Christ. Can you say amen? How many of you want God to keep working on you? How many of you want to believe things that you've never seen before? How many of you know that God has more in this book than we can even imagine? It's all in there. We just got to let him reveal it to us. How many say amen to that? And if it's a Spirit revealing, there's no way it can go wrong. Is that okay? You got to trust God. Amen. Hallelujah. Stand up. Let's pray. Hallelujah. I just want to say this to you this morning. How long does it take to believe God? Listen, I've got an eye that needs... I need God I believe that I'm healed. Amen? And this eye, it's time. Amen? It's time. Amen. Hallelujah. I got hearing that I'm listening to, what do they call it? I've got a whistling in my ears, I guess. What do they call it? Yeah, whatever that is. And it's, you know, my granddaughter, she talks in this perfect pitch where I cannot hear what she's saying, because I think it's messing up with that little octave that I've got going on in my ear. So I'm looking at her and she goes, boy, why do I have to yell at you? Because I'm telling you. But I'm, you know what? And I'm just, folks, let me just say this to you. I speak over my body. You know how the Apostle Paul said, I keep my body under subjection? Have you heard that? Anybody heard that word? Yep. Paul said that I keep my body under subjection. What is it that you keep your body subjection to? It's the Word of God. You keep your body under subjection to the Word of God. I don't care what you say, kneecap. His word says you're healed. I don't care, eyeball. His word says it's healed. I don't care, ears. His word says it's healed. How many got something? Anybody got something that maybe God, hey, you want the manifestation of God's healing? Anybody got that?
Yep.
Yeah, there's one person. Everybody else is good. All right? That's good. Look, I'm not going to call you up here, man. I'm just going to pray over you. Is that right? Yep. That God touches every one of you in all those spots. All those places. I was preaching one time. There's a brother that how do you tell somebody? God told me, he said, there's a brother that's got a problem with his rocks. Is that what you guys are in? I go, how do I say that? And you know what the Lord says? Don't diminish. Just say what I said. And I said it. I said, I don't want to embarrass anybody, but you know what? And you know what? The brother came up and says, man, I got healed, bro. You see, God knows everything about you more than you know. Is that okay?
Yep.
I had a brother tell me the other day, he goes, man, God, the doctors are seeing, they see some spots in my bladder. I said, really? The doctors see spots all the time. Don't worry about it. You're right? Amen? Come on, man. Spots. What does God's word say? When and how long will it take you to believe him with what his word says? Ooh, come on, man. Humble yourself as a little child and say, God, I believe you in everything. He will provide for you. What he's given you already, you won't lose. You won't lose, because you can never lose with the Lord. He's always got those things you need. Hallelujah. The Lord gives and the Lord takes away. If he takes it away, he's got something else for it. Amen. He will always give to you. He'll always provide for you. So I'm going to pray for your healing. Is that okay? Man, hallelujah. We're going to pray just for it. Man, you know what? We don't need one to hear it. We just need mass healing. Amen. Hallelujah. Lord, heal us, Lord. Just God, as your word has said, that by his stripes we've been healed. And Lord, you sent your word and you healed them. from the top of your head to the bottom of your feet. Church, in Jesus' name, receive that which God has for your healing in Jesus' name. Receive his provision. Receive his wisdom, his understanding. In Jesus' name I pray, and I give him all the glory, all the honor. If you agree, say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Praise God. God bless you guys. Thank you for coming. Hey, hug somebody in the neck. Talk with folks. Get to know them. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Thank you for joining us today. Faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the Word of Christ. We encourage you to keep listening and keep reading the Word of God. You can connect with us at welcometotheshow.org to learn more about our church and how you can get involved. Until next week, God bless.